is Parshas, Parshas Shmini, the first Shabbos after Pesach. It's Shabbos Mevorchim Chodesh Iyar. Okay, Shabbos Mevorchim Iyar.
What? Wednesday?
No, I think it's, I don't know.
It's Wednesday and
Wednesday and Thursday.
Okay, yeah. Shabbos Mevorchim Chodesh Iyar. So let's start with the significance of Chodesh Iyar. I saw that Iyar, they say Iyar is Rosh Teva, is Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Rachel.
Rachel.
Question is, why Rachel? Why does Rachel look out?
Needed something for the
rain. That's what I would say, right? So maybe you're right. I don't know. But why Rachel? So I think the answer is very simple. It's because Iyar is the month of
really.
the primary chunk of the Sefira, the time when the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva died, the 24,000 Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. It is the time of Avelus. They died because Shaloi Nohagu Kavoid Zelozeh. The Avos obviously were Bali Midas. Avos, that's why we begin to learn Pirkei Avos. Why is it called Pirkei Avos? Avos, because the Avos are the ones who instituted, who taught the world Midas Tovos. Avraham was Chesed, Yitzchak is Gevurah, Yaakov is Emes. The Avos were the ones who possessed the ultimate Midas Tovos. The wives of the Avos are their partners. But it was one of the imahos who stood out in Midas more than the other imahos. And who is that? Rachel. Rachel gave the simonim to her sister in order that Leah should not be embarrassed. So besides the fact that the avos, they represent Midas Tovos. Like we said, we learn Mishnayis, Pirkei Avos, because it's called Avos because they are the ones who instituted Midas Tovos. And the wives are the shutafim. Sarah is the chelik of Chesed. Rivka is a chelik of the midos tovos of Yitzchak, Avoda, and Leah is a chelik of the midos of Yaakov Avinu, but Rachel added a new dimension of midos tovos that deserves credit, deserves a category in and of itself, where she gave the simonim shelo, Shema tikolei machrisai, my sister may be put to shame if it is discovered that she is not the intended wife for Yaakov, and she gave the simonim, and therefore she gets credit. Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Rachel, it's the chodesh where we have to work on perfecting our midas. Parsha Shmini is a very good parsha because there are 17 mitzvahs. Chinuch has 17 mitzvahs, 17 is bigmatria toiv. Now let's jump right over here. What does it mean, Shiva? He bayam Shmini. And was the eighth day. So Rashi says it was the eighth day Limiluim. Shmini Limiluim. It was the eighth day Limiluim, who Rosh Chodesh Sivan. They put up the Mishkan on the 23rd day of Adar. And every single day for 7 days, Moshe Rabbeinu would erect the Mishkan and take it apart, put it up again, take it apart. And then on the eighth day, which was Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Moshe Rabbeinu put up the Mishkan for the very last time, did not take it down. And Aaron was instructed to come into the Mishkan and to offer the Kurbanos, the Miluim, the special set of Kurbanos, which we'll discuss in a few moments. And this was called Yom Shemini. Now, what else happened on this calendar day? On this calendar day, this was Hayoim Harasa. This was the day, the sixth day of creation. We have a tradition that, you know, let's not go into when creation actually happened, but why is it called Yom Hashmini? Let's go back to a Yisai that we once spoke about. In the Sefer Torah, how do you write the letter Ches? How do you write the letter Ches in the Sefer Torah? So by Nusach Ashkenaz, by Beis Yosef, it's two Zions. Why is the letter Ches, made up of two Zayins? So the answer is, let's answer the question by asking another question. What is the eighth day of the week?
Sunday.
What?
The
Beatles song. The eighth day of the week is Sunday. Sunday is the first day of the week. Shabbos is the seventh day of the week. The eighth day of the week is Sunday. But Sunday is also the first day of the week. That's exactly why 8 are two Zions. 8 is the repetition of the cycle. When you come to the end of the cycle, you begin the cycle again. The number 8 is the renewal of the cycle of 7. A ches and a sefer Torah are two Zions with a bridge. 8 is the bridge from one set of 7 to the next set of 7. It's the cycle continues. There's a cycle of Teva in this world of 7, and it's circular. When you get to the end, you start all again. When you come to number 8, we start that cycle all over again. Therefore, the eight, the ches, is a collection of two Zions bridged together. The Maisa Bereishis took place in 7 days. The Maisa Bereishis was only the physical creation of this world. The goal, the purpose of this world was for us to build for HaKadosh Baruch Hu Abayis, a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu can rest His divine presence on this world. Yom HaShmini, Vahiba Yom HaShmini, in addition to it being the eighth day of the Milum, it's also the eighth day of creation. Hashem created a world in 7 days, and now the world is starting again. We're now going to the next cycle, like the second edition of this world. What is new in the second edition of the world that did not exist in the first edition of this world? In this edition, in this second cycle, there is a makom in this world for Hashem to rest His divine presence. On the first 7 days of creation, Hashem just built a physical world. There's a Shemayim, there's an Oretz, there are animals, there are human beings, there's water, there's vegetation, there's a stars, moon, there's a physical world. But where is the spirituality of this world? It took all of this time since creation for man to go and discover that there is a creator with Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, for a nation to be formed, to go into the desert and to be given the blueprint to build a makom for Hashem to permanently rest His presence in this world. Now is when the world begins anew, the second edition. It's Yom HaShmini. Shmini is really day one. It's day one in a new cycle. So it's not for nothing that the Mishkan, the inauguration of the Mishkan is on the eighth day, which also happens to be at the time the same time of the year of creation. Because creation took place on Chodesh Nisan, at least according to one opinion in the Gemara, and therefore it's the similar idea. It's the eighth day of creation, which really means it's the cycle is continuing. It is a rebirth. It is a renewal, but it's a second edition. It has the advantage of the Hashua Sashrina. Okay, let's go to another idea. Next idea, I saw a beautiful idea. I have to thank Mr. Rappaport for this idea because he gave me as a gift the chidushim of Rav Yosher Ber Soloveitchik. They already put out 3 volumes, a collection, a comprehensive collection of his ideas, his machshavas, his yisoides on the parasha. And he has here a fascinating, incredible yisoid in regard to the korbanos of the miluim. The korbanos of the miluim, there were 2 korbanos. First korban was Hashem says to Aaron, I want you to bring an eagle. Okay, let me read the pasuk. Vayomer el Aaron, kach lecha egel ben bakar lechatas ve'ayil le'oila tamim. I want you to take an egel. Why an egel? So Rashi says, to be mechaper on the chet ha'egel. Ve'el b'nei yishol t'daber le'mar kichu si'ir izim lechatas. I want you to take, behalf of the Jewish, I want you to take a so'ir. And also an egel, because they also need kapar for the egel. But I want you to take from them a soyer. And the Medrash says, we all quote this, the Kliyakar elaborates upon this very, very much. The soyer was to be mechaper on the chet of Mechiras Yosef. And this is a general theme that appears throughout Chazal, throughout everything, anything that you touch in Jewish history, in Hashkafa. There are 2 major sins for which we are suffering ad hayom hazeh. Number 1, the chet ha'egel. Number 2, the chet of Mechiras Yosef. We don't focus so much on the chet of Meraglim. We don't focus so much on the chet of all the things that we just learned in Ches, all those other sins. That's not really the primary focus. The primary focus that we suffer ad hayom hazeh is the chet ha'egel and the chet of Mechiras Yosef. What does the chet ha'egel really represent? Our betrayal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't really believe in Hashem. This is Ribbono Shel Olam. It's all nice and good on paper. It's all nice and good on a book. You come to shul, you think about it, but do you really believe there's a Ribbono Shel Olam? If you really would internalize the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists, there's no way in the world Klal Yisrael would have stooped to such a low to worship an eagle. What does the chait of Bechiras Yosef represent? Sinas Chinam. We do not have faith in our fellow man. We don't appreciate who our fellow man is. There's Sinas Chinam, there is Machlekes between us. That is a major problem. We suffer from that Ad Hayom Hazeh. So when the Mishkan was built, the purpose of the Mishkan was to rectify, was to be misakin specifically these two sins, the Egel and the chait of Mechiras Yosef. When we talk about the story, because they dipped when they showed their father that Yosef had died, the way they showed the father was they took his kesonis pasim and they dipped it in the blood of the sawyer. So Rav Soloveitchik elaborates upon this a little bit more. Like he says the following. This is a beautiful vart in and of itself. Let's go back to the story of the chait of Mechiras Yosef. Reuven was present. He was the leader. He was one of the leaders. And Reuven, at a very critical moment in time, after they put Yosef in the pit, he decides, you know, I have to go now and mourn for my personal chait of being mabalbel the mita of my father. After the death of Rachel Imenu, Reuven took the bed of Yaakov Avinu and put it in the tent of Leah. He was upset that Yaakov put the bed in the tent of Bilhah, the maidservant of Rachel. And that was something which was not his place to do. He later came to realize that he did a terrible avera, and for the rest of his life he was misabel, he mourned, he did tshuva by dressing himself in sackcloth, dressing in order to atone for the chait of being mababels, of mixing into the business, the private matters of his father. Why did Yaakov Reuven, at this critical moment, when the life of Yosef is on the line, decide now is the best time for me to leave and go to the Beis Medrash, put on my sackcloth and do tshuva for the chait of the babel, the mita of my father?
Wasn't it also that he went to be Mishamisha Yaakov Avinu?
No, it doesn't say that in Rashi. It says in Rashi that he went to go and do tshuva for the chait mibabel the mita of his aviv. So Rav Soloveitchik says an incredible chiddush. He says when Reuven watched his brothers sell Yosef, and in fact they were willing to murder Yosef, he said to himself, "How can my brothers do something like this? Even if they hate Yosef, they want to kill him. Don't they realize the collateral damage? Don't they realize that our father Yaakov Avinu, how much tsar, how much pain he's going to have, that his ben zukunim is dead? What's going on here?" My brothers, just be practical, be pragmatic. What are you doing here? Put your hatred aside. You got to realize the consequences. So he said, you know why they don't do this? You know why they don't care? You know why it doesn't bother them? They really don't care. They really don't. They don't have any respect for Yaakov. Yeah, they come to Yaakov. They're very good and they're very fine. They come to the Seder and they mechabit him, and they buy him maftir and shul. And they're very good to their father. But the truth is, deep down inside, they look at Yaakov as an old man. And, you know, who cares about him? Who cares about Yaakov Avinu? What, he'll have tsar? We'll also have tsar. If Yosef remains alive, we're also going to have tsar. And you'll have tsar. So our tsar is more important to us than your tsar. We really don't have deep respect for this man who we call Yaakov Avinu. Reuven says, how is this? Hayitoche, Yaakov, my brothers don't have respect for Yaakov Avinu. How can this be? They want to kill Yosef? He then realized, or Soloveitchik says this, it's because of me. Because I have no respect for my father. They learned, I'm like Amalek, the one who throws himself into a boiling hot tub and gets burnt to cool off the tub for everyone else. Who was the first one to show a lack of respect for Yaakov? Me. My father, my mother died. Rachel dies. Rachel dies. Rachel dies. Rachel dies. And my father made a decision that he wants his bed to be put in the tent of Bilhah. And I decided, I know better. My father's already senile. He's already getting there to that point. I know better. So I'm going to go take his bed and put his bed in the tent of Leah. I know better. Oh, I have no respect for my father. And all the brothers watched me do this. And they said, if Reuven, the oldest, you know, Reuven, Bechoriata. If the Bechor has no respect for the father, it must be that, you know, you have to be Mechavit. By Goyim, there's no mamish, no respect altogether. You know, you move out, that's it, you're done. You're done, you know, you'll pay your respects. It's because of me. This Reuven realized the reason why Mechiras Yosef came about is because of me. My brothers have no respect for their father. Why don't they have respect for their father? I taught them not to have respect for their father. When did I teach them not to have respect for the father? When I had the chutzpah to take the bed of my father and do with it what I want. Therefore, I better right now show them what respect is. Let me make it known to them I've made a very grave mistake. I lack respect for my father, and for the rest of my life, I have to go, and every few moments, go into the Beis Medrash, put on sackcloth, sit on the floor, say slichos and fast, to do tshuva for the lack of respect. Maybe that will make a roshem, will hit home with my brothers to realize who Yaakov Avinu is, and how much respect we owe him, and therefore to wake up from your slumber of what are you doing, selling your brother to as a slave, don't you realize how much pain you're going to cause your father? So it's with precision, he's doing something at this moment in time, Adarabba, which will arouse them to realize what a terrible thing they're doing by causing the tzar to their father. Okay, that's a sidebar. The Rav Soloveitchik throws in over here on this parasha, but his point he wants to make over here is, let's now analyze the shoresh of the chait of the Mechiras Yosef. The shoresh of the chait of the Mechiras Yosef all lies in the fact that we don't have respect for someone else. It's not just that we don't have respect for our brother, for the hatred of Sinaschim among us. We don't have respect for our superiors, for our leaders, for our parents. That's really where the chait of Mechiras Yosef lies. Where is the shoresh of the chait of the Egel? The shoresh of the chait of the Egel lies, as Soloveitchik says, is that sometimes we have too much faith in our leader. And we thought I told you, chait of Egel represents you don't really believe in Hashem. If you believe in Hashem, you wouldn't go and worship the Tzar. He doesn't say that. He says, the chait of the Egel was because sometimes there's a very great danger when you put too much faith in your leader. You come to a point where you don't know how to stand on your own. It's very critical in Klal Yisrael for there to be manhigim, for there to be leaders, for there to be people who have Ruach HaKodesh to guide us. But a person has to realize that a human being is only a human being. A person is not a manig. And if the manig, the day comes and the manig is 120 years old and he returns in the Shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to know how to stand on your own. You have to be prepared to go further. Don't put too much confidence in man. When Moshe Rabbeinu disappeared, the people went meshuggah. What are we going to do? Moshe Mace, and who's going to lead us? Who's going to be the intermediary? Who's going to guide us? They went meshuggah. They made an ego. It was a reaction because they did not know how to deal with an absence of a leader. So Rav Soloveitchik says, we have over here the two extremes. The two extremes, there are two great dangers in Klal Yisrael. And what is necessary is to find the proper balance. There are times in Klal Yisrael, or groups in Klal Yisrael, who put too much faith in their leader, or they put too much of a reliance upon the leader, which is dangerous, because when the leader is not there, then you're going to go out of your mind, you're going to go meshuggah. But to go to the other extreme where you have no respect for your leader, ish hayosha be'inav yaseh, I don't care what the rabbi says, I'll do what I want, I know better, or I'll go find another rabbi, I'll go find someone else, when you have absolutely no shibudim to anyone, to a superior, it's also a very great chorban. This is what Moshe, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is telling Klal Yisrael, the inauguration of the Mishkan. The Mishkan is the Makom HaShuras HaShechina. The Makom HaShuras HaShechina is coming to Mechaper, it's Mechaper for the Chet of Egel, and the Chet of Mechiras Yosef. It's deeper than that. It's the challenge in life is to find the balance where you have emunas chachamim, to put your faith in your manik, but to recognize at the same time he's only a manik. He's not the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's not a Kadosh Baruch Hu. To recognize he's just a leader whom you have an obligation to follow, to be true to, But to know, to find the proper balance between having faith in your manhigim and not overdoing it and having too much faith. And you can show all different examples of life. I don't have to give you examples. I know you're all thinking there's certain examples of society where, unfortunately, there was too much faith in the person. And now, because of that, it's a very big, it's a very great tragedy. But on the other hand, the other extreme is also terrible. What people just do, you don't have a rough, you don't have a manic, you don't have someone to tell you what to do, to you to listen to. That's also a very great problem. And the goal, the lesson of the two major korbanos that were being offered at the chinuch of the Mishkan is Egel, and the Sawyer is to find the proper balance. Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, this is just an observation. Observation of Moshe Rabbeinu, he probably comes over, Moshe comes to Aaron, he tells Aaron, we're going to bring some korbanos. I just want to point out different expressions. Moshe says to Aaron, Zeh ha-davar sh'tziva Hashem tasu. I have for you a list of requirements, a list of korbanos you're going to offer on this day to inaugurate the Mishkan. And if you'll do what I tell you, v'yeiro aleichem kivoid Hashem. Okay, Zadavar, ultimately, this is what's ultimately going to happen. Let's leave that pasuk out for the moment, because that was not the pasuk I was trying to focus on. Let's go further in the pasuk. I'll tell you the pasuk in a moment. Moshe gathers Aaron, and he tells him, v'yikrav. Give me one moment to find what I'm looking for. I'll tell you exactly when I find it. Okay, here it is. Perik Parshri Perik Tes Pasuk Gimel. Okay, Pasuk Dalet. I'll say Pasuk Gimel. V'al b'nei Yisrael tidaber leimar. I want you to speak to them saying, and then ki hayoim, and the pasuk dal ki hayoim Hashem nira aleichem. Okay, nira aleichem. If you'll do what I tell you to do, Hashem will appear upon you. Throw it out of pasuk vav. Vayoim Moshe ze ha-davar she'tziv Hashem ta'asu. This is what you should do. And when you'll do it, v'yiro aleichem kivoid Hashem, the honor of Hashem. Notice when Hashem first says to Moshe, Moshe first tells Aaron, listen, tell the people to listen. The only thing it says is if you listen, then Hashem will appear. When Moshe goes further and says, this is what you should do, it's not just Hashem appearing. The appearance is an appearance of the kivoid Hashem. What is greater? It's one thing when HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears, but it's a much higher madrega when it's not just Hashem appearing. Hashem is appearing in His full glory, the Kavod Hashem. Now you can come dressed in your pajamas, and you can come dressed up in a tuxedo. When you come dressed in your pajamas, it's, I appear. Okay, I'm here. What do you want from me? In the middle of the night, you open up the door. I'm here. How can I help you? And then it's when you come down, dressed up in your tuxedo and your top hat, this is the Kavod Hashem. When the entire parasha is over, all the kabbalists are over, Moshe, Pasuk of Gimel, end of the parak, Vayavay Moshe v'yarni Eloel Moed, Vayetsu, Vayavoruchu Esa'am. Rashi, Pasuk of Gimel says, they came out, Vayavoruchu Esa'am, what was the bracha they gave the people? V'hinoyam Hashem Elokeinu Leinu Masa Yodeinu Konoleu Masa Yodeinu. Where is that, Rashi? Okay, the goes on to say, so the point I want to make over here is that there are many madregos of Hashroas Hashchina. There's a madrega of Hashroas Hashchina of just V'yiro Aleichem. Hashem appears to you. Then there's a madrega of Hashroas Hashchina where Hashem doesn't just appear, Hashem appears to you B'chvoidai, with honor. And then there's the highest madrega where it's not just a show. I see Hashem B'chvoidai, but when the show is over, I go back home, I go back, it's business as usual, I take nothing from it. The ultimate goal is to take the kvoid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Kvod Hashem is now part of me. my actions, my behavior has been transformed, where I now carry with me the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we begin the parasha, and Moshe is just giving instructions, and the people are listening, that's the lowest madrega. That's also a madrega. To come and to be receptive, to hear the word of Hashem, is also a madrega. It's a madrega where you merit to see Hashem. When you're ready to perform, when you're ready, nase v'nishma, when you're ready, it's not just nishma, when you're ready to do, you're holding at a madrega where you're ready to make changes in your life, that's already a higher madrega of the honor of God. That's about Kavod Hashem. The highest madrega is when you're true, you're fulfilled the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and now you merit the ultimate blessing of not just seeing Hashem, not just seeing the Kavod Hashem, but actually bringing the Kavod Hashem into the Maaseh Yedechem, into your daily activities, into your anhagas. The reason why I want to say this is because we have a minute Mitzvah Shabbos to say Vihi Noya. Why do we say Vihi Noya Mitzvah Shabbos? What's the reason? And in fact, in a week in which Yom Tov begins, the halach is we do not say Vihi Noya. But when we do have when it's a regular work week, we say Vihi Noya. Why is that the first thing that we do after Shabbos is over? I think the answer is based upon this is very, very simple. You come to Shabbos the whole week, you know, you prepare for Shabbos. When you prepare for Shabbos, starting Wednesday you say L'chu Niranana. When you begin to prepare for Shabbos, it's a darga of V'yeira Aleichem Hashem, as you become to Shabbos. Shabbos itself is the Kavod Hashem. V'yeira Aleichem Kavod Hashem. You're experiencing the Shabbos, you're doing, you're not working, you're enjoying Shabbos, there's the Seudos, there's the Davening. When Shabbos is over, all the preparation of V'yeira Kavod Hashem is gone. The Kavod Hashem. Now, what do you take out of Shabbos? Do you take the Kiddush of Shabbos with you into the week? That's the test. Therefore, when Shabbos is over, it's the highest Madrega, or it's the ultimate Nisayon of V'yiro V'hinoyam Hashem Elokeinu Leinu Maaseh Yodeinu Shetishre Shechina D'Maaseh Yideich. That's the ultimate Nisayon, the ultimate goal. Okay, let's go to another quick idea. We have over here in the power, we have over here when he comes, he gives them a bracha. What was the bracha? So we have besides the bracha Yinoyam, we have another bracha. Well, later, let's go later on. When Aaron, he finishes doing the avoda, he does birchas kohanim. It says when he finishes the avoda, on pasik, chaf beis, he offers all of the korbanos. Vayavo vayisa aharon es yadav. This is kriv chsef. That lady, make sure you say yadav, not yado. Don't be like me, who probably say yado. You say yadav, right? El ha'am, you say loshen rabim. Vayivarchein vayed me'asos achatas oil of hashlam. Rashi, what does it mean? He lifted up his hands and he blessed them. So Rashi said something very interesting. Lo birchas koyhanim yivarechecha yoer and yisa. What's the question? The question is, since when did Aaron know about Birchas Kohanim? Birchas Kohanim was only taught to Aaron later in Parshas Nasoi. So what's going on over here? He's saying Birchas Kohanim, Birchas was not yet taught. So the Farshim answered, there are many different answers. One answer is Enochanami, the one that really invented Birchas Kohanim was not Hashem, it was really Aaron. Aaron was the one who invented Birchas Kohanim. Hashem had such hana from this bracha. Later on in Parashas Nosai, Hashem said to Aaron, the bracha you gave on your own that you were mechadish at the time of the Miluim, I want that now to be a permanent bracha. You should give that, you and your children should bless Klal Yisrael for all doros using your exact words. That's one answer. Another answer is no. It was Ruach HaKadosh. Hashem told him to say these words, and Hashem told him later on, I want you now permanently to always bless Klal Yisrael with the Birchas Kohanim. Okay, so different interpretations. I want to say a bit of a drush. There are two different types of Birchas Kohanim. There's a Birchas Kohanim that appears here in this parasha, which Aaron blessed the people when he finished the Miluim. The term that is used here is Vayered Vayisa Aaron Es Yadav El Ha'am. The bracha was given to the assembly, to the people. The Targum translates it to the nation. Ha'am is to the Amma. In Parashas Naso it says Kos Sivaruchu Es Bnei Yisrael. Omar lohem yivarechacha, and then it goes on to say v'chulu v'samu shmiel b'nei Yisrael v'ani avarechem. There's a birchos kohanim that's done el ha'om, and there's a birchos kohanim that is done el b'nei Yisrael. B'nei Yisrael, relative to Elohim, has a connotation of Anshei Maila, people who are the nation, Yisrael. Yisrael is a term that was given by Hashem the Malach to represent the perfection, the shlemus of Klal Yisrael. And then there's the Birchas Kohanim that's given to the common man, El Ha'am, the common man, El Ha'am to the people. And especially, you have to understand that the entire Mishkan, Rashi brings this point out over and over, was all of to be mechaper. There was a terrible sin that was done. The Chetu Egel. According to most Mepharshim, the Mishkan was all built, everything that's being done over here on this day is all being done to bring atonement for Klal Yisrael. Hashem should not destroy Klal Yisrael. There's an element of Chet. There's an element of weakness, of sin, of a lack of perfection. We're not on the Madrega here at this point of Yisrael. B'ni B'chori Yisrael, we're here on the Madrega, we're not even Yaakov, we're just El Ha'am. Yet we have been successful, we have done the Teshuvah, we have built the Mishkan, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Aaron, V'yivorchem, bless Yisa Aaron es Yodav El Ha'am. But then there's a higher Madrega, a different quality, a qualitatively greater type of Birchos Kohanim, that's Ko Sivorchu es B'nei Yisrael. When do we duchen? We duchen every day. Every single Shacharis, the Shat, says, Elokeinu v'kavu seidu v'chinu b'avrocha ham shleshes, ba'atayra ha'kasula idei Moshe avdecha. And then we say the psukim yivarecha. Do the Kohanim in the Chutz Yeretz lift up their hands and respond, yivarecha Hashem v'yishmerecha? No! The only time we actually do Birchos Kohanim the Yodayim is only when on the Shalosh Ugolim. Then it's done. In Eretz Yisrael, in Echadam, in Eretz Yisrael, so every day it's done every single day. Let's talk about Chutzos. Even Eretz Yisrael, it's not. Let's talk about Chutzos for the moment. When we do Birchos Kohanim, when the Shatz represents the Kohanim and does the Duchening every single day, Yivarechacha, this is Begeder, what we read in this week's parasha. Vayisa, we are reenacting. We are reenacting, or we are channeling the bracha of Vayisa Arones Yadav El Ha'am. When we daven every single day, we're davening, we're in Golos, we're in Chutz Li'aretz, we're davening to be in the place of the Korbanos, when the Shalma Fodim Sifoseinu, the Korbanos on the Chaper for our shortcomings. It's a lower Madrega, it's Vayisa Arones Yadav El Ha'am Vayivarechim. On the Shalosh Regalim, when Klal Yisrael is celebrating, it's a regel, it's Yom Tov, it's a much higher Madrega. That's a whole different level. Then we're on a Madrega of Koy Sivaruchu Es B'nei Yisrael Omor Lohen Yivarecha. That's the Madrega of Parshas Nosoi, which is in a whole different league. What is the main difference between the two? The main difference between the two is the very, very end. The Samu Eshmi al Bnei Yisrael Vani Avarechim, which Rashi says in one interpretation, I'm going to be there to give my Haskama. It's not just going to be an indirect, a messenger that's going to represent me. I'm going to be together with the Kohanim, I'm going to be masking to the Bracha. During the week, during the whole year round, Rashi here says, what was the Bracha? Yivarechacha, Yo'er, Yisa. Rashi was very precise. He left out Vani, Rashi left out the last words of the pasuk of the Samu Shmi al Bnei Yisrael Vani Avarchim. That part was left out because that is a maila where Hakadosh Baruch Hu is standing there together with the Kohanim and is channeling his kedusha is only in Parshas Nasa, where it's a madrega of Bnei Yisrael and not El Ha'am. Okay, so we have over here two different types of Birchas Kohanim, the Birchas Kohanim of Parshas Shmini, and the Birchas Kohanim of Parshas Noso, two different madregos, two different qualities of Birchas Kohanim, each one for a different kufa, a different matzav in Klal Yisrael. Hashem always has us covered, no matter what, but it's a different type of Birchas Kohanim. Okay, let's go to another quick idea. A short idea. We have over here Aaron. Aaron's the Petira. Aaron. We have this expression, the terrible tragedy of the Misa of Aaron's two sons, Nadav Aviv. How did Aaron respond to his Petira? Vayidaim Aaron. Now, what does it mean, Vayidaim Aaron? He was silent. What does it mean to be silent?
Doesn't protest.
What?
He does not protest.
doesn't protest, but let me ask you, is he in a state of pain? Like, you know, you get the impression, you see these Hasidic stories, which I don't relate to at all, where gamzul taif, everything is, the worst thing in the world happens, it's a very high madrega, which I have a very hard time, maybe I'm not curious, I don't know, I have to show him. What? And he was what?
It's not a chassid.
It's not a chassid, why not? Okay, let's see. So what do we... A person, Rahman al-Islam, he suffers a loss. So the person... Gamzu l'tayva! I'm going to dance. We're going to dance, we're going to sing and dance, because this is a bracha. The fact that this tragedy happened, it's since I have such a emunah kadosh baruch hu, Gamzu l'tayva, it's time to celebrate. You get that impression sometimes when you read some of these Hasidic Shemaiselach. You get that impression. I went to the Levaya of Lubavitcher Rebbe, and I was very disturbed. There were Hasidim that were mamish dancing. There was right in front of me. There was a circle of Hasidim that were mamish dancing. They were dancing. And I said, like, this is really crazy. This is really over. Is that the pshat vayidim Aaron? Hashem has struck Aaron down with din. And Aaron knew, be silent, I'm not going to complain. I accepted be'emunah shlema, I'm the same level of happiness as I was the moment before. I don't think that's what it means. But the proof is, this was a chiddush to me, Rashi, and really, I don't have it over here, I have to go look in the Sifsei Chachamim. Hashem said, Moshe says to Aaron, you, Aaron, continue what you're going to do. Va'achechem kol beis Yisrael, yifku es hasreifa, Asher Sorav Hashem. And what does that mean? So Rashi is a very important Rashi. Rashi in this Pasuk says, it's Perek Yud Pasuk Vav, V'achechem kol beis Yisrael yivku, mikan shet sarasan shel talmidei chachamim muteles al hakol lehis'abel ba. The tsarasan of talmidei chachamim falls upon the entire Klal Yisrael. Now what does that mean? So the Sifsei Chacham explained this Rashi in very great detail by explaining that if not, you would make a mistake, and who is the one that's suffering? Who are the people crying for? Who are they crying for? And you ask the average person, they're crying for Nadav Avihu. Nadav Avihu died. They're in the Olam HaEmes. They lost out an opportunity to being part of this world to do more Torah mitzvos. So we're going to be mishtatef in their tzar. That's not what it says. Rashi here says, the Pasuk really says, Acheichem. It does not say Acheichem. The fact that it says Acheichem, he's speaking directly to Aaron, indicates, is that everyone in Klal Yisrael is going to be Mishtatef in your tsar. Your tsar, and the tsar of your two sons, Elozar v'Yisamar. Acheichem. Not Acheichem. If the Pasuk would say that v'acheihem kol beis Yisrael yivku es hasreifa asher sarav Hashem, that would indicate is that the whole Klal Yisrael is going to be mourn the pain of the loss of Nadav Avihu. But it doesn't say that. It says v'acheihem, your brothers, they're going to cry. But wait a minute, Aaron is not crying. Aaron vayidoim Aaron. Aaron is not crying. So it's a stira. This pasuk indicates they will cry. V'achechem, your brothers, yivku es hasreif asher sarav Hashem. But why? If you're not crying, so why should they cry?
Maybe the ones that's not so closely affected, it's okay to cry.
But if Aaron is not crying, they shouldn't cry either. You can't be better. You can't. And here Rashi says that. And that's really what Rashi is coming to add. That the tsar, Rashi is mikan shet soroson shel talmidei chachamim, the tsar, the pain of the talmidei chachamim is muteles al hakol l'sabel ba. But Aaron is not in a state of tsar. Aaron is in a state of ayidoim.
But for others, it could show a lack of caring.
What?
From others, like B'nai Yisrael, it could show a lack of caring.
You can be better than the Ovel himself. If the Ovel himself is not being misabel, there's no need to go be Menachem Ovel if the person is not an Ovel.
But each command of the Kodesh Baruch Hu not to be Ma'abel could be that without that command of Hashem and Pasuk
But if they're not in a state of avodah, so wait. So now's not the time. So wait until they finish the avodah, and then when the avodah is over, then you'll go into avelus, and then the Lord will come along and they'll be mesabel with you. He's telling them right now, here and now, the Klal Yisrael is going into a state of avelus. But you're not in a state of avelus. That's the question I'm challenging you. But that's a steer because it says in the Pasuk, Vayidoim Aaron. And at face value means he was silent. There is no tsar whatsoever.
Translation of
silence, yes.
It doesn't mean he's not suffering, it just means he's not showing it.
Oh, so that's, I'm trying to come to a point like that. But Vayidoim still means doim. Doim means still, to be silent. So the answer then, the point being that we have this Pasuk here that says, that Yivku es Asreifa, and Rashi explains this to mean that they're going to be mishtatef in your tsar, so you are in a state of tsar, yet the Pasuk contradicts this by telling us Vayidim that Aaron is not in a state of tsar. The forces us to understand that Vayidim does not mean that you're not b'tsar. All Vayidim means is you don't complain. And that's a very challenging. If you're not going to be in a state of tsar, you're not a human being. If a person in this world suffers, something happens which causes you pain, and you don't suffer, suffering causes the person to reflect. If you suffer, it shakes you up. Why did this happen? Did I do an avera? It causes the person to be shaken up and reflect upon what has happened. If you shut yourself out and you're in a state of denial, then you're not a human being. Then you're not participating in the life experience. All Vayidoim means is suffer, accept what has happened, take it in, just don't challenge Hashem. Don't express yourself, don't challenge Hashem by complaining that it's not fair. And that's that only, I don't have a complete idea to tell you. I just want to point out this contradiction, and the contradiction is forcing us to reevaluate the precise meaning and function of what it means Vayidoim Aaron. This is a pasuk, Vayidoim Aaron is used throughout Chazal to describe how a person should react, Rachmanu Litzlan, to difficult situation. The way a person, look at Aaron, there's no one that suffered a greater loss than Aaron HaKohen. Aaron lost his two children in their prime. They died without leaving over any children. At the time of the Chanukah Mishkan, there was no greater tsar for a person. How did Aaron react? Vayidoim Aaron. What does that mean, Vayidoim Aaron? It doesn't mean he didn't feel the tsar. It just means he accepted it. But it doesn't mean that he was in a state of denial and he was dancing and everything is fine and peaceful. That's not what it means. Because unfortunately we live in a world where some people that's how we act, is can't deal with things, so we just make believe it never happened or
means that you're accepting, but in the long term picture.
Okay, so that's the challenge.
It's
a very difficult challenge.
Vachechem,
your brothers, you, Aaron, your brothers. They're going to look at the Sifsei Chachamim.
And not the Bavi Yisru?
No, not them. No, exactly not. And those of Yisamah who are alive. Achechem means you, Aaron, and Elozo of Yisam who are alive. Moshe is speaking to the living. He's speaking to the living. He's not speaking to the dead. The dead, that's not the issue over here, is to join in your tsar. If he was speaking about the dead, so Aaron, you're happy today. It's your day in the sun. None of Aviyu and the Olam HaMes, they're very sad. So everyone in Klal Yisrael is giving Meshtatef in the tsar of Nadav HaAviyu. If that was the Pshat in the Pasuk should have said Va'achehem. That's what it says in the Sifsei Chachamim. The fact that the Pasuk says the Achechem tells us Nadav HaAviyu are out of the picture. Forget about them. Let's deal with you, Aaron, and you know, and you Elozav Yisamer. You today are in a very great state of tsar. Everyone in Klal Yisrael is going to commiserate with you. But what do you mean you're in a state of tsar? The Pasuk says Vayidoim. Aaron is quiet, so he's not in a state of tsar. Obviously, Vayidim does not mean you're not in a state of tsar. Vayidim means you are in pain. You are in pain. It's just that your pain has not, you're not using that pain, you're not expressing that pain in a way that is improper. That's all it means. which means that you're a human being. You're a human being, and this event has shaken you up, and it should shake you up, and you have a right to be shaken up. And it's the adult thing to be shaken up when something like this happens. Not thing just to be in a state of denial and to totally ignore what is going on. Okay, let's go now. What?
What's the implication?
There's no implication. There's something to think about.
That he was in the middle of this ceremony.
He wasn't allowed to leave. Normally,
he wasn't allowed to complain. No.
What?
The reason he wasn't allowed to mourn was because he had the.
What is no? There's no. Vayidei Maron is not the avelus. It's his expression.
Well, if he didn't, if he wasn't in the middle of the ceremony, would he have allowed to be?
No, it would be the same exact thing. The word Vayidei Maron is not a halachic response to being in the middle of the ceremony. It is a mindset in dealing with difficult situations.
What?
It would have been the same thing if it would have been in the middle of the year. How did Aaron react to such a bad event? Vayidei Maron. Okay, let's go, let's go to a different topic. This is a different idea. The middle of the parasha is along the same ideas. The Eseir HaChatos Doroish, Dorash, Moshe, Vihine, Soiraf. There were three, Rashi says, there were three special chatois that were offered on this day. There was the chatos of Nachshon ben Aminadav. He was the first one to bring from the Messiah. There was the chatos of Rosh Chodesh. And there was the chatos, the special chatos that was offered as part of the Miluim. From these three chatos, normally carbon chatos, you're supposed to eat a carbon chatos. From these three chatois, all three of them were completely. Two of them were burnt, and one of them was eaten. The chatos of the miluim.
Two were eaten and one was burnt.
The chatos of Rosh Chodesh was burnt, and the chatos of Nachshon ben Aminadav and the chatos of the miluim was eaten. So there were three. So Moshe Rabbeinu was baffled. I don't understand. I come here, I go out for a minute, I come back, and I see there were three chatois that were offered. Two of them were eaten, and one was burnt. Doroish Darash, Rashi says, a double Dorisha, a double investigation. Why was this one destroyed? Why was it Saraf? And why was this eaten? Everything was done, Kedasu Chedin. It was consumed. Everything was done properly. I don't understand why this has happened. They're all the same. A chatas is a carbon chatas. It's not a coincidence that these two words and this concept is the center of the Torah. In words, last week we had the center of the Pesukim of the Torah, and the end of the parasha we have the center of the letters of the Torah, and here we have the center of the words, the tevois of the Torah. What is the significance of these two words and the event that these words capture? What does it tell the significance that this is the center of the Torah? So we can suggest the following yisod. The center of the Torah represents, this is the most critical message. It is central to what the Torah is all about. Anything that's the Panemius, for example, the world was created, according to one opinion, from Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is the center of the world. The center of the Torah represents the Panemius. It is the message that lies here is essential for everything else that exists in the Torah. So I want to say a drush. And I want to give a drush, talking about tragedy. Everyone knows about this story is that in one of the concentration camps, I don't know which one it was, is that on the way to the gas chambers, the gate entering into the gas chambers, one of the Nazis, Yimach Shemam V'Zichram, hung up the paroiches from a shul. And on the shar, it says, Zeh, in the Beis HaKnesses, says, Zeh HaShar LaHashem, Tzadikim Yavohu Vo. I don't remember the exact nusach, but he took the paroiches from the Oren HaKodesh, from a beautiful shul, and he decorated the opening entering into the gas chamber. And was making litzanis. You're now going to your desk, and this is who you worship. This is the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah that you're loyal to, that you worship, and you dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the schus of the Torah. Really? You really believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So many people, unfortunately, most did not survive, but there were many survivors who saw this. From those survivors, some claim, Some say because when they saw this, it triggered in them a rejection, Rachman son of Yadus. They completely abandoned Yadus, they went completely off the Derech. And there were people who saw this and were so affected, who were irreligious, and because they saw this, it caused them to become religious. Where is Hashem? Where was Hashem in the Holocaust? Where was he? I once read recently that I think was it which Rebbe was it? It was a blue. No, not the blue. This. No, there's another. There was another Rebbe. Who was Rebbe? I don't know. It was the Bell's Rebbe. No, it was, I don't know. The Ger Rebbe. One of the Rebbes. He, after the war, he met a little boy who was a survivor from the concentration camp, from Auschwitz. So he said to him, "Did you see the chimney? Did you see the Ger Rebbe? Did you see the chimney?" So the boy said, "Yeah." We mean the crematorium. Did you see the chimney? So he said, "Yeah, I saw the chimney." He said, "Did you see the smoke?" "I saw the smoke." Then he grabbed him. "Did you see Hashem? Did you see Hashem?" The boy didn't answer. But there's like a famous story, like, "Did you see the chimney? Did you see the smoke? Did you see Hashem?" When people saw this, they saw the parochus of Aron Kodesh on the Shah coming into the gas chambers, it shook people to their core. Some people went off the derech. They were shomrei Torah u'mitzvos their entire life. Seeing something so disturbing as this, they lost it all. And some people, they saw in this the Yad Hashem. That's right. This is the Yad Hashem. This could not happen if it's not the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu was bringing about such a thing. The same exact Maisa can cause one person of Hester Panim, can cause one person to become the biggest Maimon, and can cause the other person to become the biggest Kaifer. What is the center of the Torah? The center of the Torah deals with the ultimate tragedy that exists in this world. There is no greater tragedy in this world than the loss of a child. There's no such thing. The loss of a child, an adolescent, someone, not of Aviv, children in the prime of their lives, who did not get merit to have their own children, to be taken away from their father, Aaron HaKohen. This, the penimius of the Torah, is the greatest tragedy that can possibly exist in this world. And what does it say? Doroish Dorash Moshe. Moshe made an investigation, and he saw Mitzad Echad, there are holy matters that are destroyed, Saraf. And Mitzad Sheni, there's Kodoshim, there are holy matters, potential for holiness, that were eaten. All of the mitzvahs were done. Everything was done to perfection. The T's were crossed, the dots of the I, the I's were dotted. Everything was done. This is the Penimia Satra, the challenge of Torah. Torah was given to in a world of Hester Panim. Torah was given to man to exercise his free will. There are situations, and the most extreme situation in Rachman Litzlan is something like what happened to Aaron. This is the ultimate Hester Panim. Where do you go when you are challenged in this world with Matzavim, situations of Hester Panim? When you have to express yourself, when you have to now make a decision, I see something in this world, we're in a world of darkness, Hashem created the world, He gave us the Torah what to do, where are you going to go? Doroish Darash. There are some, unfortunately, there are situations where Sorof, Vihine Sorof. But on the other hand, the other side of the equation, it's eaten. It was offered on the Nisbeach. It was eaten. Everything was done Kedasu Chedin. This is the Penimius HaTorah. And a person has to say to himself, we don't Hashem come to an extreme of what happened. The matzah that we're dealing with is just an example of the extreme. We deal with simple little things. Should I go to this hechsher? Should I go to this restaurant? Should I go to this restaurant? Dealing with simple decisions. Should I wake up, get up for davening? Should not get up for davening? Should I have kavanah shemona esrei? Now kavanah shemona esrei. The whole life is a life of dealing, making decisions in matzavim hester panim. Are we going to be on the side of the equation of the hinei soirof? Are we going to be on the side of the equation of it being eaten, of everything, of consuming, of everything being done, kedas u'chedin? Okay, let's go to something another to finish up on something else, maybe something a little bit more
positive.
Gagzil Vavard honor Rav Michal. This is one of my very beautiful var from the Dalet Malchus. Rav Michal is our expert on the Dalet Malchus, and we have here the four animals which have different simonim,
the
Peres, the Ozniyah, the Chazir, and the first one, the Gomel. So there's a very famous var. This is not my var, very famous. Why are the terms past, present, and future? Let me read you the psukim. The var goes as follows: Zosachaya Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Gimel Kol Mafreses Parsa Vishoisa Shesake Matzuhima Ezel Loisach Bimal Agiru Mimarsev So Es Hagamol. The first one is the Gomel. The Gomel, when the Torah describes its problem, it's described Beloshon Hoive. Ki male geira, it regurgitates its cud. Ufar so einena mafris, but it does not have split hoofs. Here it's beloshen hoive in the present tense. We come to the second animal, the shafan. Here it says ki male geira hu ufar so lo yafris. It's beloshen osid in the future tense. We come to the arneves. It's in the past tense. So the question is, why is it when it comes to the Gomel, is it in the present tense? It's in the present tense. Why when it comes to Shavnis in the future? And why when it comes to Neves, is it in the past? So the answer is because these three creatures, and then we go into the next one, the Chazir, represent the Dal Malchias. The Gomel represents the Malchus of Bavel. Bavel was wicked from beginning to end. Bavel was treif, was wicked, therefore it's in the present tense. The Shafan represents the Golus of Paras Umodai. Paras Umodai started off very good. Paras Umodai, they allowed Klal Yisrael to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. When did Paras Umodai turn sour? Towards the end of their existence. So therefore, when it comes to Paras Hamadai, it's written in the future tense, Lo Yafris. The Arneves refers to Yavon. Yavon started out bad, the whole story with Hanukkah story, but at the end, they made peace with Klal Yisrael, they let Klal Yisrael exist. So therefore, when it comes to the Arneves, they started off
with Alexander the Great, and then it deteriorated after he was gone.
Loi, we have the Tanakh story. Ufar so loy. Okay, this is what it says in the Sfarim. I don't know. You have to study it better. I don't know. Maybe you're right. I don't know. That Arneves is in the past tense because the Chasarin was in the beginning. Was towards the beginning of their Malchus. Later, towards the end, they gave Klal Yisrael some degree of autonomy where it wasn't as severe. So therefore, it is. That's why we have these three animals representing the three Malchus. Why it's the past, present, and the future. Okay, let me just say one quick var, which I think is a nice var to conclude with. What? No, the chaz is the present tense. So that, I guess, goes back to the zman hazed that Edom is evil from beginning to end. It's evil. So one last thing, which I think is an important var. The beginning of the parasha, Hashem says to Aaron. I want you to go and bring Makiv the Korbanos. Aaron did not want to proceed and bring the Korbanos, and Moshe had to encourage him. Moshe said to him, in the beginning of the parasha, Vayomer Moshe el Aaron, Kirav el HaMizbeach. Rashi, Pasik Zayin. What does it mean, Kirav el HaMizbeach? Why are you embarrassed? There's nothing to be embarrassed of. Shehoya Aaron Bush. Or Boish, should I say Boish? Boish. The Yore Logeshes. He was embarrassed. He was embarrassed because he participated in the Egel. He was afraid to come close. Amalei Moshe, Lama Ata Boish, Lekach Nivcharta. What happens? Aaron proceeds, he brings the Korbanos, he goes through the entire process. And what happens? Nothing happens. The Shechina does not come down. So what happens? The Pasuk Chav Gimel. Vayavoy Moshe v'Yaron el Oil Moed. They go into Oil Moed and they pray that the Shechina should come down. Rashi, Pasuk of Gimel, it's an incredible Rashi. Rashi says here, Lama nichnesu matzasi b'parashas miluim b'braisa hanesefes. Lama nichnas Moshe v'Yaron. So first it says they went to do the Ketores. Dover Acher, here are the key words. Kevan Shera Aaron Shekarvai Kol HaKarbonos. He did all the Karbonos. V'nasu Kol HaMaisim V'low Yarda Shechina LeYisrael Hoya Mitztayer. He had pain. The Shechina did not come down. V'omar, he said to Moshe, Yodani, I know Shekoas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Olai U'v'shvili LeYarda Shechina LeYisrael. Omar loyal Moshe, and Aaron complained to Moshe, Moshe Ochi, Osisi Li, Kachosisi Li, look what you did to me. Shenichnasti Vinis Bayashti. So look at that. He was right. Moshe said to Aaron, Aaron, Kravel Mizbech, Loma Ata Boish, don't be embarrassed. And what was the end? He was embarrassed. The end was Aaron indeed was embarrassed. So Miyad and Moshe heard he was embarrassed. Miyad nichnas Moshe imoy ubikshu rachamim v'yordo shechina l'Yisrael. Unbelievable, Rashi. So what happened? When Taka Moshe went, Moshe put pressure on Aaron. How did the shechina? Let me ask you. This is the very first time in the history of Klal Yisrael the shechina came down to Klal Yisrael. This is the moment. What brought about the moment of the shechina? So they'll tell you. If you read in most of the Sfarim, they'll tell you it's because they davened. They built a magnificent Mishkan. They brought all the Korbanos. And the Shechina didn't come down. They had to go in and be Mispalel. And the Koyach of Tefillah is what brought down the Shechina to Klal Yisrael. That's what you're going to read in your average Sefer. I'm telling you, it's wrong. That's not what brought down the Shechina to Klal Yisrael. You know what brought down the Shechina to Klal Yisrael? Is being responsible to your brother. Moshe said, Aaron, you go, it's your job. Why are you embarrassed? It's your problem. This is your job. Aaron goes and he does the job. Because Moshe pushed him, he does the job. He comes and says, Moshe, I look like a fool. I did everything you told me to do, the shul didn't come down. I told you I didn't want to do this. I told you so. You were mevaz to me in front of the whole Klal Yisrael. You told me to do this and it didn't work. So Moshe can say, no, I guess, you know, Taka, you're just not Roy Lakach. Stand aside. Let me go in. I'll be the big superhero. I'll go into the Mishkan. I'll be Mestalel. And my Koyach Atil will bring down the Shechina. That's not what he did. Moshe took Aaron Imoy. I got you here. I'm going to help you get you through this. I'm going to take responsibility. Moshe took him, miyad nichnas Moshe imoy. Aaron, you're right. I embarrassed you. I brought this upon you. It's my problem. I'm going to rectify this. I'm not going to tell you the standards. I'm being misspelled myself. I'm taking you with me in, and I'm going to help you, and I'm going to make sure that you come out looking good. When you bear the responsibility to your brother, that's what brings down the Shechina to Klal Yisrael. Moshe acknowledged he put Aaron in this difficult situation. Moshe was the cause of his embarrassment, and Moshe now came to rectify this by taking Aaron with him into the Mishkan. Miad nichnas Moshe imo ubikshu rachim. That is what was Yorda Shechina LeYisrael. It's not so much the bikshu rachim. It's nichnas Moshe imo. Moshe took responsibility for his fellow brother. When you see your brother is down and out, and you go over to him, and you pick him up, and you help him, and you encourage him, and you get him to where he's supposed to be, this is what's going to bring the Geula for Klal Yisrael. Okay, wonderful Shabbos. All the best to you.